Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Trent Sherfield. This man made a catch on Sunday. There was a flag that got picked up that could have been pass interference. It was almost helmet to helmet on him as well. And the fact that he held on to that ball on the very first drive of the third quarter and got blasted, they even, and I remember Schlereth even brought up the fact that that's the kind of play that earns you more respect in a locker room than a touchdown. That's the kind of play that says, I am in a league that I belong in. And it was mannish and it was nasty, and very rarely do you see a wide receiver win the better part of a contact battle. Trent Sherfield, I know we've doubted where he is in the pecking order and is he being used to motivate IU, because I think we need to wrap our minds around him being a player. Pro Bowler? I don't think so.
No,
but football player.
I don't doubt for a minute that Trent Sherfield is the kind of player that Kyle Shanahan likes a lot. I'm just not convinced that he is a more inherently talented player than Brandon Ayuk is yet. That's the only thing. That's the only place I go with that.
That's fair.
Well, he wasn't any more involved than Ayuk on Sunday, this is leading to me to my newest theory about Brandon Ayuk, which is there never was a doghouse. Other than the doghouse is if most of your routes are run past 9 yards, you're not getting the ball. Because Trent Sherfield, where did we learn about Trent Sherfield really? It was bombs from Trey Lance.
Bombs from Trey Lance.
What are Ayuk's best skills? Certainly to differentiate him from a guy like Deebo Samuel or George Kittle or even Mohamed Sanu, it's he can run downfield and make plays. And they're not making plays downfield. Now, whatever reason you want to say there is for that, I don't think it's because Sherfield and Ayuk are not capable, because we've seen them both be reasonably capable. So, to me, I'm starting to believe that the lack of involvement for Ayuk in general and Sherfield on Sunday is as much about the sort of passes the Niners are actually throwing as anything.
And they're just using Ayuk to run off defenders and keep guys honest?
I suppose. And I don't know if that's deliberate or if that's the quarterback is not choosing to make those downfield throws or what. But that makes more sense to me than anything else, because, again, they were both on the field plenty. Like, Ayuk got 38 snaps, I want to say. Sherfield got somewhere in the neighborhood of 30. Like, to only have two targets when you're out there for 30-plus snaps, it means you're doing stuff and you're just not involved in what's actually happening. And the best explanation I can come up with is nothing's happening downfield, and that's more or less what those two guys want to do.
That could be. I also think it's temporary. Because Maybe. You can't run the offense that they ran on Sunday week in and week out, because you become too predictable. You don't use enough of the field. But I also think that this is a team that is going to use more of the field. I think we're still talking small sample size.
Of course.
And the weirder game is the one that just happened. And so I think it skews a lot of people's opinions about what the 49ers can and can't do and what they will and won't do.
We just saw two very different game plans against different opponents, but we saw a level of Ayuk not being involved much in either. And I think the same extends to George Kittle. George Kittle is the third, no, he's no worse than the third best pass catching tight end in football's last decade. The guy is a wide receiver in a tight end's body. And he's also an offensive tackle in a tight end's body, which makes him obviously more appealing to the running game than most pass catching tight ends will ever be. And you're going to want to take advantage of his entire skill set, which is also pancaking dudes. And he gets off on it. So you want him to do things that he gets off on. But you know what I think he also gets off on? Scoring touchdowns. And he hasn't done that yet. He's been just on the edges involved in offensive passing attacks so far, which I thought was just a little odd. And we brought that up earlier today with Peter King.
I've been surprised at the lack of targets throughout the first two games there. So we'll see if there's anything there. It might be game plan related. As far as Ayuk goes, I mean, there's got to be something going on internally, guys. Just has to be. You know, he was the fair-haired guy exiting last season. I have not done any reporting on that, but I'll be curious to see what happens. You know, I think they're going to have time to throw the ball this week. I'll be curious to see what happens with both of those receivers.
No one's done any reporting on that. No one's gotten into the skinny of what did happen that caused Trey Sermon to not dress in that first week and Brandon Ayuk to essentially not participate in beyond any, you know, just he was a decoy. He's been a decoy in two football games.
But doesn't that sort of reinforce something we've always known about Kyle Shanahan, which is that if he doesn't want something out, it doesn't get out. The whole Mac Jones thing. I mean, I think he was whispering in ears. I don't think that was scouts going rogue or anything else. I think if he wanted the whatever the Ayuk situation is or isn't, if he wanted that out, it would be out. I think he doesn't want anything out because, by and large, he wants to know that all the people who work for them can keep their mouths shut on command. And I think for the most part, they do.
Oh, yeah. There are not any leaks. When you compare it to the end of the Trent Baalke Harbaugh run.
Or the middle of the Harbaugh.
It's two totally different things.
Oh, yeah. No, I think there has been reporting on it, but it has hit just sort of wall after wall because nobody shoots their mouth off there anymore, which is a great disappointment to us all.
So this is shocking. I just pulled this up and I'm trying to make sure I don't misunderstand it, but it seems to me that, oh, this has got to be last year's stats. That's why. All right. I'm going to have to update it for next year because this is last year. This is relevant. Last year, Brandon Ayuk ran routes on 31% of the team's dropbacks, which was by far, by 10% more than the rest of the team.
Right.
That the fact that he would go from clearly the number one target to
Mohamed Sanu is loved more than you are.
Right. There's no way to explain that via performance to me, because there hasn't been enough performance in between last year's high usage and this year's apparent lack of usage, which is why like the doghouse thing made a little bit of sense to me week one when he didn't enter the game for a quarter, because it felt like a discipline thing, and maybe he did something that Kyle Shanahan felt needed discipline. But when he's out there this past week, again, this I just looked up accurately, 38 snaps. I don't know how many routes. That's a harder stat to find. But that's more than half of the offensive snaps, which I believe was second among wide receivers. you're not doing that if you're, he's not out there that much if you're Kyle Shanahan, if he's in the doghouse in some way. I don't think the doghouse expresses itself as, well, we'll put him out there, but we won't throw him the ball. Right. Why would you do that? You're not going to do that. So to me, there has to be a different reason why he's out there that much and not getting targets. And I don't think it's because he's incapable of getting open.
I mean, but he ran great slant routes last year. He was just, I mean, it's a slant route. Who doesn't run a great slant route?
I mean, but I also think it's possible he was in the doghouse before game one.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And then got out of it. So right. I don't know that that's still ongoing. But the other thing about his stats last year is that Deebo Samuel missed 9 games. And I think that helps explain some of that. And I think what we may be finding out is that Jimmy Garoppolo has a clearly preferred number one target, and that's Samuel. Now,
but I also
in 3 weeks,
it was
I could be completely wrong because we're still talking small sample size and 2 weird games. But if you give me the choice between throwing to Samuel and throwing to Ayuk, I can see why quarterback would pick one over the other, because even when Rich Gannon was at his height in Oakland, Tim Brown was not his favorite receiver. He preferred other guys, and you could see it game in and game out. I mean, there were a couple of years ago where Derek Carr's favorite receiver went from Michael Crabtree 1 year to Jared Cook the next. So I think maybe this might just be cyclical too.
But I think the Tim Brown thing kind of makes your point, because from 1998 to 2002, his fewest targets on the year were 127. So if he was not the preferred receiver at any point there, that may be true. But he still got looks because he's Tim freaking Brown. And I know Brandon Ayuk has, don't get me wrong.
We're not there yet. Yeah.
We're not comparing them as receivers, but it's not like Debo's Jerry Rice. So sure, go ahead and prefer Deebo. It's still odd that a guy who looked so capable last year has been so uninvolved in 2 games this year. It's just odd.
And to me, the odd doesn't stop at Ayuk. Look at George Kittle. The fact that George Kittle isn't getting targeted 19 times in a football game, like Darren Waller gets targeted 19 times in a football game, or Travis Kelce will be in the... Travis Kelce's always got teenage targets. It's always in the teens. All the time. And there are plenty of wide receivers that Patrick Mahomes throws to as well. You know, I mean, but when you have someone who is that good, using them sparingly is an odd thing. And I don't want to hear about this, well, Kyle doesn't want to show everybody the playbook. There is no other coach worried about that in football. It is.
I don't think he's worried about that.
Okay. If you are involving your tight end, the game in Philadelphia feels like a game he would be most involved in, and he still was sparingly used in the passing game. Michael Irvin joined us on Monday and talked about how George Kittle's been limited so far in touches through 2 games.
There's no doubt. It always helps your team to have Kittle as involved as you can get him. But when you're coming up with against a team that says, we're going to make you use somebody else to beat us, we know that's your most sacred route to the victory, and we want you to take another path. Then you got to deal with that. You put one person on somebody, that's one thing. You double team somebody, it becomes another. You try to triple team somebody, somebody else has to be open, and you have to send a message even to the rest of the league. Even when you take him away, we still find a way to win this game. That's the message that you have to send.
In my opinion, there were 4 things that I were looking for in that Philadelphia game that I don't think we saw. Number one, I predicted an overly involved George Kittle. I was wrong. Proved a point of getting Brandon Ayuk more involved. He had 1 catch, so I guess I was wrong about that. I thought that Kinlaw's return would just shut down all running back traffic in the middle. That didn't necessarily happen. The Eagles still had 5.2 yards per carry. Yes, that's a lot of hurts on the outside. That is a run game, run defense that needs to get even better than what we've seen. But having Kinlaw in that game did make a difference. So I feel good about that. And then not seeing a single play out of Trey Lance, a coaching DNP for a guy that you talk about seasoning and having a package to play with and around. I was just really surprised that we didn't see him at all. I didn't think we'd see him much. I didn't think his snap count would be zero. That surprised me too, which I guess is an endorsement of Jimmy's ability to run that game plan. Jimmy did not do a good job running that game plan in the first quarter beyond two drives, which were 90-plus yard drives. I didn't think there was an awful lot of chemistry between him and anyone that day. But they stuck with him, and they got a win, and it just goes to show that Jimmy Garoppolo has really one of the oddest brands in football. He is an unquestionable winner with flaws in his game that border at times on rookie mistakes. Like, oh, didn't see that linebacker. Put up a YOLO ball. And maybe that's the edit that he's made on this year, because there are no YOLO balls going up from Jimmy anymore. He hasn't thrown an interception yet. He has been very careful to not turn it over. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. But at one point, and I believe that point could be this Sunday, you're going to run into a quarterback who puts more pressure on your quarterback to open it up. So the start to the season for the 49ers has been very interesting. But when the Packers come to town on Sunday, I think things get fascinating.
Oh, I absolutely, because I think the Packers are a completely different team than the Eagles are. I mean, and this is, again, based on, you know, not a huge, you know, body of evidence. But, I mean, Peter King referred to it, you know, earlier today when he said that, they kept Kittle in to block because they were worried about Philadelphia's front seven. And that makes sense to me too. But I don't think, if King is right and the Packers don't have a very good front seven, that this shouldn't mean that they're only going to throw 20 times or 30 times, whatever it was on Sunday. I think it could easily, that offense could easily be opened up. And then we'll be talking on Monday about how 49ers have played three different games against three different teams.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I guess here's maybe what I'm thinking, and this is not just from what Peyton and Eli had to say about it last night, but they were talking throughout the entire first half about, man, the Lions are just staying in this two-deep shell, and it's really a test of the Packers' patience to not try to force something deep. And Kyle Shanahan can go ahead and say that's what the Eagles were doing, and it's tough to... He said that, basically. The coverage was soft, that we took what they gave us. Somehow, Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams still found a way to hook up deep a couple times. You know?
Right.
Or at least to try. So you're going to have a hard time convincing me, especially against a team that's not the 85 Bears or 2000 Ravens, that there was just never any opportunity all day long against a clearly mediocre football team to go downfield. That there had to be.
In 49 pass attempts, the worst arm of any starting quarterback, Andy Dalton, has thrown the ball past the 15-yard marker once. In 55 pass attempts, Jimmy's done it four times. It might be an indictment as much on the man's arm strength as game plan is. Look at it this way. If everything's good with the 49ers, yes, those were unique game plans. If there's something wrong with Jimmy's arm, you could also say that we're looking at statistics that might bear some fruit there too. So let's find out. A fascinating Sunday night with the Packers certainly coming up soon. We are going to come back talking to a man who knows all about getting down and dirty in the trenches. Mark Schlereth is going to join us next here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.